Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm a mom of three kids, ages 2, 5, and 7, and I live in Southern California.
And I'm Megan. I am the mom of 5 kids, ages 6 through 17, and I live in Michigan. This is the Mom Hour, part of the Life Listened Network.
Hello, everyone. I am Sarah Powers, and you are listening to the Mom Hour. I am so excited today to be joined by Asha Dornfest. Asha is the author of the brand new book, Parent Hacks, and she's the creator of the website parenthacks.com, which has been around for more than a decade. Asha is also a fellow podcaster. I'm so excited to talk books and podcasting with Asha today. She co-hosts the Edit Your Life show, which is one of my favorite podcasts, and I'm not just saying that. And Asha's joining us from her home in Portland, Oregon, which is one of my favorite places in the whole world. So we are so excited to have Asha today. Hello, Asha. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Sarah. We have to be careful because there might be some mutual fangirling and gushing that happens.
Just so. Gushing. Mutual gushing.
Let's just, I'm going to try to, put a lid on it a little bit, but it might sneak out.
Yes. Well, there's a lot of love, a lot of podcasty love going back and forth, I think, between our two shows, and we're so excited for your new book. So I also want to mention for our listeners, if you're happening upon this and wondering, where's Megan? Don't worry. I haven't, lost her. She's not wandering around confused somewhere. She is sitting this one out, and Megan and I are really excited to be starting a special series of interviews with people like Asha, people we think are great. And this has been a goal of ours for a while for the podcast, and it's also going to be, they're going to be bonus episodes. So if you like how we just come on every week and chit chat with each other, that won't change. We're hoping to do 1 or 2 bonus interviews a month, and this is the very first one. So we're really excited about that. And if this feels different to you, just go with it. And Megan and I will continue on our normal recording schedule as well. So we're excited about that.
I like the idea of being a bonus, frankly.
Yes, you are a bonus, and you are bonus number one, bonus interview number one. We're very excited. Something we've wanted to do for a while. Megan and I, there's certain areas that we just, of motherhood and parenting that we can't speak to personally, and we get questions from listeners asking us to talk about certain things, and we're like, we can't authentically speak about those things. And then there's also just sometimes people like you and authors and people we admire that we know our listeners would love to get to know. So it's going to be fun. So let's talk about Parent Hacks. For those who don't know, Asha, your website started more than 10 years ago, right? More than a decade now?
Yes, and when somehow the word decade sounds so different than 10 years ago. But yes, indeed, I launched parenthacks.com in 2005.
Awesome. And it's kind of grown into, it's like more than a website. It's like a community of idea sharing parents with really genius solutions to everyday problems. So if you're listening and this is your first introduction to Parent Hacks, that's just kind of the primer for you. It's been a blog and a community for over a decade, and it is now a book. And it's all the little things that you never thought of, but somebody else did in like an amazing community, genius hack sharing way. But what I'd love you to tell everybody, Asha, is kind of how the site started back when you were a newer mom, and how it's kind of evolved over that period of time.
Well, it's quite the story, at least it is for me. And, it's funny because right now I'm having this opportunity because I've just come out with a book, and I'm sharing a lot about the book to really reflect on this incredible 10-year journey that I've been on. So in 2005, my son was just starting kindergarten and my daughter was a toddler. And let me just say, new parenting was not the experience that I had read about in the parenting books. It wasn't at all. And it was overwhelming for me. And at the time, this was in the days before Facebook.
Right.
We didn't have a really easy way to reach out to each other beyond just who lived in our neighborhood.
Right.
And so I thought to myself, I would really love to hear what's actually working for parents. Because sometimes it's just those little tips that somebody shares with you. You're standing there in the school pickup and someone just leans over and says, I came up with a good tip for this or a quick shortcut for that.
Right.
And sometimes those were the things that were the most helpful. So I thought to myself, how could I find out what those shortcuts are, and how could I share my own? And so I thought, I'll start a blog, which seemed like it sort of seemed like an alternative thing to do at the time.
Yeah.
And But I just really, it came from my own need to talk to other parents about what was going on because I was desperate for help and community myself.
And things change so quickly even in those first few years that once you, even if you rather confidently have one stage down, you're always a fish out of water as you move through in some area, right?
So true.
I mean, so there's that need never goes away, I'm sure, as you found even with teenagers, right? Your kids are 16 and 12, is that right?
That's right. Yes, 16 and 12 now. You know, it's so true. I think I've sometimes described parenting as a series of completely different jobs because when I think about, it's funny, I now I'm having the opportunity to meet a bunch of new parents and expecting parents.
Uh-huh.
And I sort of look at them with curiosity like, boy, I know I did that, but it just doesn't feel like that anymore. And it is actually quite wonderful for me to go back to that time and remember.
Yeah.
And yes, I mean, it's very true that I still need the hacks, but most of my work, and certainly Parent Hacks, the book, is focused on expecting and new parents, pretty much from, say, pregnancy through preschool.
Yes, and that's definitely the steepest learning curve, and probably the time of the most isolation, I think, for a lot of people, where we may have more social media now than 10 years ago, but it doesn't completely solve the need for community. By any means.
Well, so, and it's also when you're most constrained for time and you're most constrained for sleep. And I think, too, you're the most vulnerable because it's new.
Yes. Agreed. So how did that then, I mean, you started a blog and you started trying to pull these tips together. Was there a point at which it felt like, wow, this is now, I've heard you say in other interviews that, you know, the readers contributing their own ideas took on its own energy and you got to kind of step back and just nurture that. Did that take a long time? Was it gradual or was there sort of a tipping point where you felt like, oh my gosh, this is now its own resource?
Right. Well, you know, when other bloggers listen to me tell this story, it's actually rather obnoxious Cinderella story, but it took off. So, you know, I never started the Parent Hacks blog with the notion that, oh, I've got 1,000 great tips to share.
Right.
I had maybe 5 or 6 tips to share and lots of questions to ask. And so really, it could have ended as quickly as it started had nobody answered these questions.
Right.
But it just took off. I think it was a moment and it was a conversation that people wanted to have, people who were on that early internet.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just moms. It was moms and dads, which was really interesting.
Yes.
So
yes.
I would say within a few months, I had about, you know, I had hundreds of emails coming to my inbox.
Wow. That must have been overwhelming. Or was it exciting?
It was exciting because really, you know, again, I was a person that was just hungering for a real world conversation about parenting.
Right.
And so for me, it was like a miracle. It was this dream come true of real people saying, you know, this is what it's really like. And these were smart, really generous people. I cannot tell you how lucky I felt at the time. And I feel the same way now.
It is really cool. It's I love the idea of, I think the word hack now has a lot more, like it's just more easily recognized. We have sites like Life Hacker and it's just sort of become part of our vocabulary. But to me, the difference between what makes a hack is it relies on you to deal with your current situation, think in the moment and come up with something that works. And what is so beautiful about that for new parents is that we're given so many rules and so many books and so many expectations about the way things should be that it's really easy to lose that trust in your own ability to think on your feet. So while you're offering people very concrete tips, I think you're really doing something. I mean, I see it as like a much bigger gift for new parents, which is reminding them that there is genius in the little things that you do on your own instincts and that it doesn't always have to be exactly by the rules. And that then if we can then share those things, then that's very powerful, I think.
Oh my gosh, Sarah. I think you've just phrased the crux of my book better than I have ever done it ever.
Oh.
That's exactly the message that I tried to make very clear in the introduction of the book. That Parent Hacks is not just about, oh, I've got the definitive source of genius tips. Not at all.
Right.
It is about you are the definitive source and they will come to you gradually and that you can trust that you are going to come up with something. I mean, it might not be right when you need it, honestly.
Right.
Sometimes we just sort of like, help me get to 5 p.m., please. But sometimes you just come up with something. Yeah. And the power is in sharing it.
Yes.
And so when parents share those little tiny tips, even if they seem obvious,
yes,
it is unbelievable what can happen.
Well, I mean, and the seeming obvious, yeah. Oh, sorry, go ahead. But the seeming obvious is, it can be a hang up, I think, because you do sometimes think, oh my gosh, am I the only one who didn't realize this? And, you know, we have a little bit of ego wrapped up in that. Like, we want to know what we're, like, we look like we know what we're doing. But that's so true that what it seems obvious to you is going to be not obvious to somebody. It's just the nature of acquiring knowledge. At some point, you know, it wasn't obvious, and then it is. I still remember the first hack that I read on your website. This would have been before I knew you through Megan. I mean, I just, as a parent and a reader of blogs, but it is one that I still use today. And that is, when you are packing school lunches for school age children, to pack a lunch for any toddlers or at home children. And I guess that when I read it, maybe I had like a preschooler and a young toddler. I was like at the beginning of that. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's so smart. And it would have, I probably would have never thought of that, honestly, because I'm not, I don't love lunch packing. I'm pretty quick about it. But I did that today. I packed two school lunches and a third lunch for the kid who's, you know, at the park with the sitter right now, maybe not needs a lunch, but it's just, then it's done. And then when it's lunchtime, you can just, you have it packed, even if the kid is home with you all day. So that's just an example of the types of things that we're on, you know, and that's, that one is several years old, I know, from the website. But
oh, so true. And pack a lunch for yourself. That was that's the other little coda to that particular hack, because who never has a lunch?
Yeah.
You.
Yeah. So true. So true.
Oh, just like eating the apple peels. Like,
yes. Off the plate. Well, so I'm curious how this has changed in these 10 years as the internet and social sharing has evolved, because obviously it's a completely different world. What we have, there's a lot, it's a lot easier now, especially with visual platforms like Pinterest and Instagram, to share these types of hacks. Do you feel like parents are still in need of the same? Do you feel like there's more available, or that there's still a need to kind of point people toward the right resources? Does that make sense? I guess are new parents as hungry? They must be, because you.
So I think there are two interestingly contradictory ways to answer this question.
Okay.
On the one hand, I absolutely think we need the community in the same exact way as we've always needed community. That will never change. We need to find, you know, like-minded people around us, especially when we're struggling through those early years of parenting. The funny thing about what's possible online with social sharing is that there's more information than ever before, and that creates its own problem, you know, of too much information.
Yeah.
So the funny thing that I struggled with 10 years ago, which was that the only information I was finding was coming from limited sources, in some ways we have the opposite problem now, and we're just completely bombarded with images and advice and all sorts of other things. So finding a trusted, a sort of a, you know, a smaller little eddy in this huge swirling river of social media is, it's important.
Right.
The other thing, the other piece about that, though, is that now each of us has a voice to share. And so the great thing about this, from my perspective, of, you know, having this book, Parent Hacks, is that it's so easy for people now. They don't have to hopefully stumble upon me and send me an email and then hope that email actually makes it to my
brain.
It's
a lot better for your inbox, too.
it, you know, it's, well, and it really sets the conversation free, because honestly, I've been the bottleneck all these years. I'm not the most efficient person with my email, and I'm certainly not, you know, I'm not a content machine. I'm not, you know, a viral sensation. That's never been my interest, and it's frankly not my strength either.
Right.
I'm a community person, and I like to talk to people. Mm-hmm. And so this allows the conversation to exist in a way that people can join in even when I'm not there.
I love that. I love that. And one of the easiest ways right now is the Parent Hacks hashtag on, especially Instagram is where I tend to follow it. But if you just want, like, entertaining and genius ideas, all you have to do is follow that hashtag. And like you said, it doesn't need to be systemized from the top down.
Right.
It's brilliant.
Well, and it's just this, it's like this rich vein of just people's discoveries.
Yeah.
There's humor there. There's also, it's really nice. Honestly, don't you feel this way, Sarah? Like, you come up with a little, you come up with, like, you packed your kid's lunch and your toddler's lunch. It's sort of nice to give a little recognition for that.
Yeah. It's almost like making yourself feel better for all of the times you didn't know what you're doing. It's like,
sort of like looking around in your empty kitchen going, hey, did anyone see that? Because that was awesome. Really awesome.
It's so true.
It's so, so nice to get a little pat on the back and somebody going, hey, oh my gosh, that's really genius.
Yes. Yes.
So that's what happens. And yes, I actually think Instagram and to a certain extent Facebook, because they're very much connected. Mm-hmm. Parent hacks on Instagram and Facebook are really this amazing mm-hmm. source of sharing and community. And I mean, it's changing. It's really, really changing. And it's so much fun. Even now.
I was going to say, I admire you having evolved through that, because so many online writers and bloggers, it's always throwing you a new curveball about how to look at your content or how to reach your audience. And what a cool way for Parent Hacks to have evolved and then actually like harness the power of, you know, hashtags were not a thing in 2005, you know, and now that can be one of the primary entry points into this community. So it's very cool. It's very cool.
Thanks.
So I want to go into the book for a little bit and tell you a couple of my favorite hacks from the book, and also give
our... I want to hear them. I love to hear people's favorites.
I know. And give our listeners, too, kind of some examples of what's in here. So one of my favorites is that I used myself recently after reading the book is the list on page 52 of things to do with painter's tape. So you guys know, listeners, painter's tape, like the blue tape that you put around your baseboards when you're painting a wall, and how it doesn't pull off paint or doesn't damage wood and it peels off easily. So in the book on page 52, you have a whole bunch of amazing things you can do with painter's tape. Like the one I did was bring it on a trip over spring break. We were at my parents' and they are living temporarily in a very, very small condo. So there's no space for the kids to run around or play. And so we made hopscotch on the living room floor with painter's tape and they played hopscotch. But there's at least 10 on this page of different things to do, but labels, demarking places on the floor where kids can play or not play. Labeling cords and wires, pulling those together with labels. So the painter's tape is a huge favorite of mine.
I actually carry painter's tape with me all the time to this day.
I love that.
I love that stuff.
It is. It's so smart. It doesn't do anything bad when you take it off.
Duct tape gets mm-hmm. all the glory, but yeah. painter's tape needs its moment. I like to think that maybe I will be a part of that.
Yes. You are bringing it to the light. Okay. Hack number 34. I wish I had known about 1 year ago. And that is to flatten tape with a roll of toilet paper with little stinkers like my third child, who like to intentionally unroll the whole thing for fun while sitting on the potty, to just smush it slightly flat so that when they go to, whether it's intentional or unintentional, so that a whole bunch doesn't come out and end up in a pile on the floor, because that was a favorite little activity.
Entertainment, sort of in-seat entertainment.
But that's so smart. I mean, it's just to kind of squish it so that it doesn't freely unravel itself while they're sitting there, you know, pulling at it.
And, you know, clearly this is easily outmaneuvered by a toddler who wants to unroll it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it solves the problem of even kids who are just trying to take some toilet paper off the roll and the whole thing just goes.
Yes. And you know how some toilet paper rolls seem to have like gravity. It's like almost like they don't need very much encouragement to just start snowballing.
Yes.
But yeah, I had never thought of that one. Just smush it a little bit and it just doesn't do that on its own. Okay. This is a really good one that I'm going to use. Number 68 is to help little kids, preschoolers, know which shoe goes on the right foot. So this is kind of visual. I'll try to explain it. But if you have a little pair of shoes and you took a big sticker of some kind in the illustration, which we have to say the illustrations in this book are great. Let's come back to that and talk about how cute they are.
Okay.
But the sticker would be cut in half. So in the illustration, it's a ladybug. You'd cut it right down the middle and put one half in each shoe so that when they're on the right feet, it would match up. Does that make sense? I feel like I didn't do it. Maybe we'll have an image in the show notes if we can.
I was just going to say, I think we're going to try to get that image to you so that you can show the listeners what it looks like.
But if the little kid, if the little kid lined up his or her shoes before putting them on, that ladybug would look correct. If they were lined up wrong, it wouldn't be, the sticker wouldn't be matched up. So right. I think people can maybe picture what I'm saying. But right. that is such a good idea. Like, who thinks of these things?
I don't know who thinks of these things. I think
that's you all do. Everybody does.
So it's collective wisdom. Yeah. I mean, I think there's no one person that could possibly think about all these things. It's it's the power of a community.
It
when
is.
They're all in a mode of being generous and saying, hey, I came up with this thing. It's so cool to see it happen.
It is amazing. Okay, this is another favorite. And this is another one. You have some great little collections. So some of the hacks are kind of a standalone hack where there's an illustration and, you know, a description of what to do. But then you also have these kind of great little pages throughout where it's maybe a collection of ideas on a single page. So one of my favorites is the games that you can play while lying down on a couch if you're a tired parent. This is like the best thing ever. So if you're picturing those days where you're so exhausted you can't even open your eyes, or maybe your back is out, or you're trying to get the toddler to at least lie down with you because you know they need a rest. So this is 7 pretend games you can play lying down. And we've totally all done this. Like, why don't we pretend I'm sick and you're the doctor? And then you just hope they'll just kind of like rub your back gently, or like, you be the mommy and read me a story. But these are awesome. Like, hairstylist, sit cross-legged on the floor while your kid brushes your hair.
That is so relaxing. Yeah. I did that all the time.
Totally.
So great.
Laser show. Turn off the lights, lie on the floor, and use a laser pointer, or you could use a little flashlight to draw shapes and create effects on the ceiling. I mean, that could keep a tired mom and toddler busy for a really long time. I don't know that I would have thought of that one. So, again.
We that's actually my family's hack. We came up with that, I think, just it was an accident, with a laser pointer.
I love
that. It seriously is like a laser show. It's fun.
And you don't have to get up. It cracks me up thinking of all the, because we've all been there where you just cannot, you cannot even be upright anymore.
like horizontal is the only position possible.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I want to talk about something that I know has come up for you, that it surrounds the idea of hacks. And that is kind of our obsession with safety and the rules. And I know this came up for you specifically. You addressed it with a photo that had been shared with the Parent Hacks hashtag, and I'll let you tell that story if you don't mind. I think it was about a young child using a knife to cut, and you know, issues of safety. But there's other safety, quote unquote, issues around hacks, because the whole point of a hack, like we talked about earlier in the show, is using your own intuition and common sense to come up with a system that works for you. And I think common sense being the underlying idea that none of these would work in a situation where a child was at risk, or it wasn't the right, you know, the circumstances weren't right for it to be safe. Is that something that's come up? Can you tell the story about kind of how that came out with the photo, and has that come up again as you've navigated this, or are people pretty understanding that this is all about using your own common sense?
So I'm so glad you brought that up. And before I forget, I'll just say that we'll link up that. I wrote a post about this, and I'll send you that link so you can put it in your show notes. So the basic story is, mom shared a picture on Instagram talking about the hack basically was that her daughter was learning how to cut fruit in the kitchen, but she was too short to reach the counter. And so the mom pulled out a kitchen drawer and put a cutting board on the drawer to sort of lower it a little bit so she could reach properly. This was the hack. But the picture showed a little girl with a pretty sharp knife and a bunch of apple wedges. And so I shared this picture and saying, you know, talking about the cutting board hack, you know, how to lower the, and said, this is a really great hack. But a few people piped up in a, by the way, a respectful way. It was a great conversation on Facebook saying, I'm worried about the sharpness of that knife, because it was a very sharp paring knife. And this little girl looked to be about 5 maybe. And so we got into this whole conversation about safety and all this kind of stuff. And it was so interesting. It turns out, as it happens, I had misinterpreted the picture, that those apples had been pre-sliced by the mom and the girl. So that wasn't even the issue, but it brought up this really interesting conversation about exactly what you said, that first of all, different hacks are going to work for different people.
Right.
So in no way is it meant to say that this is what you should all be doing.
Right.
It also brought up the notion that different kids are actually developmentally ready to do things at different times.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, in my family, I'll use the example of using markers.
Okay.
My daughter was ready with her hand control to use markers at about 2.5 years old. My son, I wouldn't hand him a marker when he was 8 because between his manual dexterity and his impulse control,
yes. Yes.
It was going to be a disaster.
Yes.
But the point is that the rules were different just mm-hmm. because they were different kids. And so I think it's the same when it comes to safety.
Right.
I mean, obviously there are certain things that, you know, there are certain basic safety protocols that we all follow, but there's a lot of gray area. And not only that, there's a real benefit to letting children learn how to do
yes.
these things as soon as they express an interest in doing it.
And don't you feel like too, that as, I mean, the mom was not in the picture, in that picture, but our role as parents is sometimes we're in a position to give a little bit more risk and freedom because we have the time to supervise or we're in the headspace to nurture that. And other times you got to keep everybody safe because it's not the right time to teach knife skills. So I think the other thing that can get taken out of context is that this is what we always do in our house, you know,
right.
this level of knife skills where that's not how it works. You know, you have times when your kids are ready to kind of grow in those areas, and then other times where there's not the time for that. So I think that's really important to bring up. The example that would be for me is how I use the car and the garage, and I was thinking about this from a safety perspective because people get obviously very concerned about anything that involves leaving kids in a car, period. Understandably, we understand the safety things. I live in a climate where there's no temperature issues. It's spring all year round. And my garage is right off of the door that leads into the main area of our house. So I will buckle my preschooler in, turn on the car with the garage door open, of course, and have her listen to a story or her favorite music for about 5 minutes as I go in and out loading other things into the car. So she's buckled. I can hear the music. Does that make sense? Like I'm going in and out
totally.
Of the, there are places, whether it's the safety of your neighborhood or weather or just even the distance from where the car was parked to where you were going to be, where that would be extremely unsafe and not advisable. But it's not a blanket. Safety is not like a blanket situation. It relies on our, you know, our common sense and applying it to our situation. So I just wanted to kind of bring that up as I think the genius of these hacks is parents being creative in the moment. And when that happens, we're always going to be sort of pinging that like safety line for other people because maybe their situation is different, I guess.
Well, but. And I think the other thing that isn't sort of a blanket statement is different parents' levels of comfort.
Right.
So for one parent, for you buckling your preschooler into the car, it works for you and it totally makes sense. Who knows? You know, the parent next door to you with the same garage
right,
and the
right.
same weather may feel like,
yeah.
oh, there's just no way I would do that.
Yeah.
And on the other side of you, they might say, what's even the issue?
Yeah, right.
So it's also a matter of trusting your own feelings
right.
and not feeling pressured one way or the other, both ways.
Right.
You know, I know for me, I am generally not a worrier. And I felt very pressured by certain people around mm-hmm. me who would say, how would you possibly let your kids do that? That
right.
is not a good thing to do.
Right.
And I would think to myself, you know, actually, to me, it seems like a fine thing to do. But
right.
then I would second guess myself. And it goes the other way, too.
Yes.
So that's the other piece of trust. It's not just trusting kids. It's also, you know, feeling confident in our own gut feelings
yeah.
and being open to what's, you know, to other people's approaches.
Yeah.
But also really honoring that we have our own approach.
Right. Agreed. And I think that makes the community aspect that what you've created that much more important, because when we can see what other people are doing, especially those who are more fear prone or, you know, wonder if they're giving too much or allowing too much risk or just to see what other people are doing, I think is helpful in normalizing that we're all just doing the best we can, I guess.
Well, that's true. And I think the other, you know, the piece of that for me from a community standpoint as the person who's always watching the comments on Facebook and watching the comments on Instagram is when anyone shows up saying, are you kidding? You really actually blah, blah. You know, if somebody starts getting judgy, I put a lid on it fast. Yeah. I do not allow that sort of conversation. I mean, I give people a chance to rephrase and rethink. But as soon as people start showing up and throwing around judgment or insulting other parents, they are out of there.
Right.
Because we all need a safe place to swap ideas.
Yep.
And we need to be able to just say, hey, this worked for me.
Right.
And it's just, it's fine if it didn't work for you.
Right.
So, well,
yeah. And I think we can we can honor safety information that needs to be provided by consumer reports and recalls. And we can kind of honor that as one piece of the puzzle. And yet at the same time, be supportive of, you know, our own idea sharing, because they don't have to be mutually exclusive. Nobody's saying, let's all put our kids in danger and come up with these shortcuts for life.
I know.
That is not the subtitle of your book.
Yeah, there's a 70% chance your kid will be fine.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Statistics are on your side.
Yeah, really.
That's such a great point that you brought it up. You just, boy, Sarah, I mean, you totally get parent acts like in the most basic, fundamental way, and I so appreciate that.
Oh, I just love it. Well, we're gonna move on to talking about your podcast and a couple other things, but before we do, I just want to remind listeners, especially if you happen to be a new listener, everything we talk about will be in the show notes for this show, which will be at themomhour.com. We just ask you to look for the name of this show, and this is our first bonus interview episode. It will be called something like that. Look for Asha's name and parent hacks, and it will be obvious once you arrive at themomhour.com. And while you're there, you can leave a comment on those show notes and say hi to Asha, or share your own parent hacks, or, you know, just interact with us there as well. So all that will be at themomhour.com. So Asha, let's talk about podcasting. You co-host a show called the Edit Your Life Show with Christine Coe, and you guys launched, I think, very shortly after Megan and I launched this show, right? Are you coming up on a year?
Boy, do I know the answer to that? I don't think I officially know the answer.
I really think you're only like a month behind us, maybe, just based on my own memory. We will verify that for all those who care about the exact details. But in my memory, we launched exactly a year ago, and I don't think you're very far behind us. So do you want to just talk? Well, I'm going to talk about the Edit Your Life show first, because I love it. And the way I'm going to set this up is that Megan and I get a lot of listener emails saying, you know, my kids, I only have a newborn and a toddler, but I love listening to you and Megan, who are farther along in motherhood, because it gives me kind of an idea of what's coming up next. And that's exactly how I feel about listening to you and Christine, because your kids are older than mine. And some of the topics you guys have been able to really go deep into are really more school aged and middle school, and even, you know, coming up on teenage parenting thoughts, as well as just life and creativity and home ideas that moms of really little kids aren't often thinking about. And once you move into a little bit more sleep and freedom and ability to complete a sentence, that's where I think that you and Christine, that's kind of what I get from you guys, is that next phase. So I love, love, love your show. It's called the Edit Your Life Show, and your tagline is editing the unnecessary to make room for the awesome. So let's just talk about, do you love podcasting? Has it been different from being, you know, writing online and doing everything in written word?
I cannot tell you how much I love podcasting. It's a revelation, because for a number of reasons. First of all, my co-host Christine, I love talking to her. We co-authored a book long before we did the podcast. In fact, the book Minimalist Parenting, which is our book together, is what inspired us to start this podcast, because we kept talking about the stuff that we wrote about. Literally, we call each other on the phone and we talk about these things because we live them every day. And so Christine, in her brilliant way, said, we should start a podcast. We should just talk about this stuff and share it. And in some ways, it totally harkened back to those early days of sharing on our blogs, because it's a conversation. And that's really what blogging is. You know, you sort of put something out there and wait to hear the response, and then you sort of nurture that conversation. And so Yes, podcasting has just been an incredible experience. And I mean, we're completely new at it. We're not professionals. So we're just trying things out and seeing what happens and listening to people, you know, respond to us. And it's just been so much fun. I mean, I actually feel like I still have so much to learn. I have many new podcasts to listen to myself. And, you know, I look to people like you and Megan who just, you know, this is what you guys are really doing. And I just learned so much from people who are doing, other podcasters who are doing it as well.
Well, it's a very fun space to be in because almost everybody is relatively new, including listeners. I don't know if you've found this, but, it is taking a while for listeners to find out how to listen to podcasts and find new shows. So it's very fun to be in that way. I don't know if you feel like this, but as a writer, I kind of enjoy the inability to edit myself on a podcast. I mean, I'm a writer, and then I've also done a lot of editing, so I can get real bogged down in tweaking things or going back and wishing I'd said it differently or wondering if that was the right way to put it. And guess what? You can't really do that when you're podcasting. And
right.
I kind of really enjoy that. And I also think that there's a little bit more distance from the way the internet has become with, you know, some of the more negative comments or, you know, I think your community is really supportive. Megan and I at The Happiest Home had a very supportive comment community, but still it's right there for people to argue about sometimes. And that can get a little bit exhausting. Whereas when you're having a conversation, people might be yelling at me in their car and totally disagreeing with me, but I don't know. And I don't need to know. And it would take them a while to come like find us and disagree with us vocally. A few of them have, but I also kind of enjoy that it's sort of like an opt-in conversation. If you like us, listen to us. If you don't, you know, there's so many other podcasts. So it's really, I don't know if I was able to articulate that very well, but it's that feels fun to me.
Yeah. Well, I know for me, I agree with you about a lot of that. And I know for me personally, I am a rare species of extrovert writer, meaning I love to write. Mm-hmm. I really love writing. I love messing around with words and moving them around and choosing just the right word. I love being a writing geek, right. But it's super lonely for
yes.
me. And so I tend to get a little nutty if I'm alone for too long, mm-hmm. just alone in my head. It's just not pretty in there. when I don't have other real people interacting with me and, you know, providing a sounding board and,
right.
and frankly, just getting to listen to other people and
yeah.
not listening to myself because I
yeah.
get bored with my own voice.
Yeah.
And so for me, podcasting literally is conversation. It's not even just the idea of conversation. And it just is the best counterpoint to the writing. I love it.
Yeah, I agree.
I love the fact that people can actually start getting to know you this way.
Yes,
I agree. I've had that experience. I had that experience with a video show that I did a very long time ago. I'm not really into video particularly. I really love podcasting. But mm-hmm. there was a video show I did many years ago. And it was a long time. It was really early. And people still come up to me today. And I think people connected to me in a way because of those videos. They
mm-hmm.
just couldn't through my writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the same with podcasts. And I just love that. I mean, it makes me feel all warm and fuzzy inside.
I agree. It's really fun. And what a gift for brand. I think of the brand new moms who are sitting. And because podcasting wasn't really around. I mean, as much as a few years ago, or it was a very like fringe thing that only certain people knew about. But I think of how much I would have enjoyed listening to podcasts when I was either up nursing or, you know, just had time at home that felt a little bit lonely. I think that's I'm so glad for new parents that this is a medium and that there's more and more family and parenting related podcasts out there. So it's such a good thing, I think.
And I just want to go back to something that you said earlier, which mm-hmm. was that you enjoy listening to the Edit Your Life show because we're a little farther along in
yeah.
parenting. That just is so moving to me because I never even considered that
yeah.
because I do that myself.
Yeah.
I'm completely fascinated by people who have grown children.
Yeah.
And so there's actually, I'm going to just do a little shout out to this blog called grownandflown.com.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I love that blog so much, and I just had the opportunity to meet the two women behind it. They're just fabulous women, and I hang on their every word for exactly the same
right.
reasons you just said.
I have seen their headlines, and I'm familiar with, again, that would be like one step again farther ahead for me, but no, I know exactly what you mean.
But, I mean, if you sort of think about it in terms of parents shepherding other parents.
Yeah.
I mean, what could be better than that?
Yeah.
You know, here we are. People love to talk about how isolated we are and how everyone's just staring at their screens and no one's interacting anymore.
Right.
Okay, well, I actually beg to differ in certain ways.
Yeah.
And this is one of those ways that we actually can help each other move into these new stages. There really are mentors out there.
I agree. I completely agree. So I thought it would be fun before we wrap, since Megan and I have this kind of, you know, friendship and chatty podcast, and you and Christine do, can you take me behind the scenes? Like, when do you guys record? Do you do it on Skype like this? Do you have a set day? Do you guys plan a lot before you? I'm like, this is now me just fangirling. Like, I want to know behind the scenes on the Edit Your Life show. I want to know who gets organized and lays out the outline. How far, you know, when do you decide what you're going to talk about? I want it all.
All right. Sounds good. Okay. So I'll give you the super quick
behind
the scenes dump. So we record on Friday mornings.
So do we.
Christine is based in Boston and I'm based in Portland, which means she's on Eastern time, I'm on Pacific time, which means I get up really, really early on Fridays.
Okay.
But that works for me. So we record at 9 a.m. Eastern time, which is 6 a.m.
Oh, my gosh.
No, it's good. It actually totally works for me. I just tank up on some coffee and I'm good. And so usually what we do is we switch off sort of, you know, we just have a big, long Google Doc full of brainstormed ideas for episodes, and we just take the lead. We sort of switch off taking the lead in terms of scripting the episode. And when I say scripting, I simply just mean putting together an outline of things that we want to cover, mostly to remind ourselves.
Right.
So it's not like, you know, it's something we memorize or anything like that. It's pretty mellow. Now, Christine gets pretty much all the credit for what happens after we record. She works with a really wonderful production helper named Laura, who helps with editing out, you know, the chatty before we actually start recording or start the actual podcast. She, you know, puts the music in and all of that stuff and does the production. And we have a pretty set template for our show notes, which we write. Christine creates the graphics for the episodes because she's also a graphic designer. Christine, by the way, is one of these Renaissance women who can do just about anything.
She's amazing.
We complement each other really, really well. And she is the true efficiency. She's the efficient one of the two of us, I would say. She really, I don't know. At a certain point, whenever I talk about Christine, like, I pause and I'm speechless, because she really is, not only is she wonderful, but she's just an incredible producer of things.
So
we generally just, we're sort of on that schedule, and then we both promote it. We do have a website, edityourlifeshow.com, but then we both put the show notes on our own individual blogs as well.
Well, it's so fun listening to you guys. I think you do a really good job of having some concrete tips, and anybody who's followed, obviously, Parent Hacks and the book Minimalist Parenting, I mean, you're so good at getting those takeaways that are just digestible. So I admire that about your show. And I just love, you're just both very humble. And, you know, I hope that that's how our show comes across too, that this is like, we're exploring this out loud into the internet. We're not teaching anyone or expecting, you know, followers that do things a certain way. We're literally thinking out loud and exploring things. And that's how I feel about I think you're both very humble, even when you're offering concrete tips about that this is a learning journey. So I love that about your show. So,
well, I love that about your show. And it's really funny that you say that, because I find that when I'm looking for podcasts, whenever I stumble upon a podcast that in any way smacks of guru, and I've got the answer for you, I'm immediately suspicious. No, really. Like, okay. You know, and part of that is because I've now been doing this long enough. And when I say doing this, I mean both living my life, being a parent, and also being
existing
on the internet.
Right.
It's like, okay, I think I know what works for me. And plenty of times I don't. Believe me, I certainly don't have it figured out. And I'm looking for productivity tips like the next person.
Right.
I'm still trying to figure out how to integrate exercise into my life every day.
Yeah.
And I haven't figured it out. So
there's
a lot I haven't figured out. But I just feel I feel so much better when I hear other people, just like you said, thinking out loud and saying, okay, this is sort of what I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
Because those are the kinds of things most people just don't hear that often enough.
Right. Agreed.
And it feels like friends talking, as opposed to somebody, you know, intoning from a podium or something.
I agree.
Or a pedestal.
A pedestal. I agree. Well, do you know what's next for you? I mean, this is a big book, like a big book explosion of book touring and book promoting. Can you see the other side of that? Do you have projects in the works, or are you just going to take a really long nap?
Oh, definitely the nap. Okay, yeah. So it's both a blessing and a curse that I happen to be a person that lives in the present. Like, I get completely immersed in the present moment, which is sort of wonderful and sounds really zen, but what it means is I cannot really see past it. And so I am very much immersed in my book and talking about the book and sharing the book. I'm actually on a national book tour right now, so which is just, okay, can I just say how amazing and incredible that experience is? That's a first. It's amazing.
So cool.
So I hopefully you guys can catch up with me on the book tour. You can see the listing on my Facebook page. So the answer is, I don't know.
You have no idea. Yeah, because you're still in it.
I'm totally in it. And probably, you know, for some number of weeks after I am no longer in it, I will be sort of catatonically staring around. And then something will start percolating in my mind. Or something will show up in my email and I'll say, wow, that's cool. And then I'll start doing it.
I love it.
My entire career has been.
It's amazing. I love it.
It's good. It's not very planned, but I'm very grateful. Very, very grateful.
Well, we are so grateful that you were able to take an hour out of this crazy book whirlwind. I want to make sure people know where to buy the book. And that would be anywhere books are sold, obviously.
Yep. Anywhere. Stores online, wherever you like to go.
Very cool. Parenthacks.com is your website. And I was just there today. And it also makes the book, you know, right there for you to find or read more about. And definitely, you guys, go check out Asha on Facebook and Instagram, the Parent Hacks Facebook page and Parent Hacks Instagram account, or wherever you like to do your social media, because that is where, just to come back to the community aspect and the idea sharing, that's where some serious creative genius is going on and will continue to go on. I mean, the book is in my hand and it's static right now, but that idea sharing is wonderfully dynamic and continues to happen. So
I'm hoping that the book really starts up that conversation in a whole new way with a whole new generation of parents.
Hope so too. Well, thank you, Asha, so much for being our very first bonus interview. This was so much fun. And please, everybody, go check out Asha's book. You can find all of this at themomhour.com. And we will talk to you all soon. Thank you, Asha.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun.
So fun. Thanks, everybody.